Bibles, if you will, with us this morning into the book of Haggai. In the book of Haggai, and if you don't know where Haggai is, he's right smack dab in between Zephaniah and Zechariah. I'm sure that really helped you out, doesn't it? If you go to Matthew and just start turning back a few pages, amen, you'll find him much quicker. But the book of Haggai, he is a prophet. As the children of Israel return from Babylonian captivity back to Jerusalem, and Cyrus had given the decree to allow them to go back to rebuild the temple and to reestablish the city of Jerusalem, so to speak, and they had went back and had some issues that they needed to be dealt with, and God always has somebody to help us to deal with our issues. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And God will help us get to our issues. If you found Haggai, chapter number 2, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. If you haven't found it, you know, you can just listen to the Word if you want. In verse number 10 of chapter 2 of the book of Haggai, the Lord says, "In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now, I pray you, consider from this day, and upward from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to a press fat for to draw out 50 vessels of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew, and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, and from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth from this day, hath not brought forth from this day, will I bless you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this privilege to stand before your people. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for its truth. And Lord, help us to take that truth this morning and apply it to our hearts and to our lives, and to do, Father, what is pleasing unto you today, that we will live a life, Father, that exalts you, a life that mirrors you, and a life that bears your image in all that we do. It would be our desire, God, to honor and obey you in everything that we do. And God, help us to start this new year off, Lord, in the right frame and with the right mind and with the right heart, God, desiring to do what gives glory unto you. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. You may be seated. When the Jews who were exiled were allowed to return, they returned back to Jerusalem with the express purpose of rebuilding the temple. That's what they went back for. That's what this group had been sent back to do, was to reestablish the house of God, was to reestablish that place where they worshiped, to reestablish that place where they would come to offer their sin sacrifices, to offer their thanks sacrifices, to offer all the things that God had commanded them according to the law. It was a place place where God told his people that he would meet with them and he would abide with them and he would hear their calls and their pleas. And as they went back to Jerusalem and they started in the work, it wasn't long before they got slack. It wasn't long before they let off of the work and they quit building on the temple. And God reminds his people, and God speaks to them. For 16 years they had quit building, and in that time frame God was still dealing, and God sent men like Haggai and Ezra, and God sent men like Zechariah in their midst to remind them and to tell them of what they should be doing, but they were slack and they were lax in doing what they should do. And for 16 years, 16 to 18 years, depending on which numbers you want to use, the temple lay dormant. The temple lay in ruins just like it was. The work had ceased because the people had got pre-involved in other things. Back in chapter 1 of the book of Haggai, God says, here you're wanting to dwell in your sealed houses, and my house lies wait. We get involved and we get preoccupied with everything but what's important. They wanted to build up their houses. They wanted to build up their community. They wanted to build up their city. They wanted Jerusalem to thrive again and to function again like the city that it once was. But they were missing the most important element in the equation. The house of God was still laid waste. And because they had let the house of God lay waste, he began to prophesy to them by Haggai and by Zechariah the things that they needed to do. For 4 months, he reminded them. For 4 months, he continually sent the men of God unto them. If you go back in chapter number 1, in the 7th month, he spoke unto them. In Zechariah, in the 8th month, he spoke unto them. In the 9th month, here in Haggai chapter 2, he spoke unto them. In the 6th month, he spoke. God wants to get their attention, and God is still wanting to get our attention today. Do you believe that? Amen. He still wants us to hear him. He still wants us to hear his word. And he still wants us to know that the same thing that he wanted his people to know back in 520 B.C., he wants us to know in 2016 today that the most important thing in our life is to put God first and foremost. Amen. That was pretty weak. That was pretty shallow. The first, most important, foremost, greatest need that we have in our lives is to put the Lord first in everything. Amen. But we, just like they, have grown weary. They worked on the house of God for a time. They got excited to go back. The old timers cried when they got to see the temple rebuilding, who remembered it in its old glory. They got stirred up for a while, but then they got caught up with the things of the world. They got caught up in the cares of daily life. And the Lord and the Lord's house became less important to them. The Lord and the Lord's house got forgotten and relegated to the back seat. And it lay waste. It lay dormant for 16 years when it could have been built up. Many of us today, we suffer from the same problem. We all get wrapped up in what's going on in our lives. We get wrapped up in what's going on at home, what's going on with the family, what's going on this weekend. Let me tell you, every Lord's Day, there should be nothing more important than to be in the Lord's house. He said, well, preacher, you got to have a good time. You got to live. We got to do all these things. But not at the expense of putting the Lord in the back seat. The Bible says, remember the Lord's day to keep it holy. And say, well, pastor, I can go out into the woods and I can be out in nature and I can honor God. Amen, I know you can. But God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But even more so as you see the day approaching. You see, God commands us and God instructs us to be in his house. God instructed his people at certain times and for certain situations and for various reasons that they had to come to Jerusalem. Just so you can get a picture of this, I don't care if you lived 100 miles away, you were required to come to Jerusalem for the Passover at least once a year. Amen. No matter where you lived. And that was before automobiles. That most of them didn't even have a cart or a donkey. Most of them got there by ankle toe express. Amen. They had to hoof it down there to go to worship because God had commanded it. One of the things in God's word that is important to him is that his people come apart from the world and set a time aside that they're going to worship him. But just like we are today, many of them got confused in what they were doing. And they confused the seed. They confused the blessing. God reminds his people back in the Old Testament in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, of the blessings that he would bestow upon them if they were obedient unto him. How their crops would flourish, how their flocks would flourish, how their children would flourish, how their homes would flourish if they would give him the right place in their hearts and in their lives and would do those things that he said to do according to his perfect and precious word. But just like us, they began to forsake God. And the more they forsook God, the greater they seen the problems that began to happen. In verse number 10, down through 14, it says, in the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with the skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these things, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. I then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. They wanted to serve God according to their own dictates and according to their own theology, their own personal theology, their own personal doctrine. They wanted to follow God by the false teachings of those who would drive them and draw them away from God. They wanted to follow God in a lethargic attitude and atmosphere where it really doesn't matter. It's not that important. Well, it was very important unto God. And God asked the prophet Haggai to challenge them by questioning the priest, to challenging them in the law and in the word that he had given him. And they asked him, said, if one is bearing holy meat, if they're bearing the offering in the skirt of their garment and they touch something, shall it be made clean? And they said, no. And they said, how about if one that's unclean touch those things? Will it be unclean? And they said, yes, it will. And here is the thought, and here is what he's trying to tell us. Here is what he's wanting us to see. We run around in this world and we think that because we come to church, everything's fine. Because we have sat on a pew and we've spent some time in the house of God, everything in our life is fine. Well, it's not. It's not a matter of what we do. It's a matter of where our heart is. Amen. And then he said, if we touch the things, and if we deal with the things that are, if we dabble in sin, friends, You're a sinner. I don't care if you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. If you dabble in sin, you're a sinner. Amen? And you need to repent. You need to take care of this. We get the attitude, well, Pastor, if I go hang out with my friends that don't go to church on the weekend, and if I can hang with them on Sunday, I can lead them to the Lord. Let me tell you something. Hogwash. Amen? Now let me give you a practical example. And you tell me if this don't work. Brother Obi, he just had the flu. Amen. He was sick as a dog all last week. As his sister Denise and sister Eileen, keep them in prayer today. They're both sick. Now, I'm healthy. I don't have the bug. I'm feeling pretty good. I could have went to Brother Obi last week and I could have got up in his face and I could have breathed in his face. And you know what? Brother Obi would still be sick. Amen? You believe that? Do you believe because you're well and you go to somebody that's sick and you breathe on them that they're going to get better? Doesn't happen, does it? But let me tell you, I'll tell you what would have happened if I'd have went to see Brother Obi and I got up in his face and Brother Obi breathed on me, most likely I'm going to get the bug. I'm going to be sick. Amen. Well, this is where God's people, this was the reasoning that they had in their life. Well, you know, we're doing this and we're busy about building. We're busy about doing this work over here. We're rebuilding Jerusalem, but we're neglecting the house of God. Rebuilding Jerusalem isn't going to rebuild the house of God. Amen. You getting busy and you going out in the world and trying to be super Christian doesn't negate you and it doesn't excuse you from being in the house of God when the doors of the house of God are open. Amen. Amen. It doesn't excuse you from the work that God has called you to do. God has a work for you to do. But the problem is you can't do it if you're not here when it's time for the work to be done. God's got a work for you and you and you and you and you. He's got a work. He's got something here for you to do. You know, we got teachers in our church that are taxed to the limit because there's only a few people that want to be teachers. There's only a few people that are willing to step up and say, look, I'll teach and I'll do this work. I can't help anybody else. I'm going to do it. I'm thankful for those. But there's a whole bunch of you here that could be teaching and could be used of God in a great way if you were here and you would allow him to do it. But you feel good bumping elbows with the ones that do. Amen. You come in on Sunday morning sometimes. Amen. You sit down next to one of these who's working and been busy sometimes. And you feel all good about yourself because you come to the house of God and you bumped elbows and you shook hands with the preacher and you talked to the deacons and you told the Sunday school teachers what a good job they were doing. Well, how about switching the thing around a little bit? How about if they started acting like you do? How about if they started living like you do? How about if they were as faithful to God as you are? You know what we would be doing? We'd be shutting the doors to the church. We'd be locking the doors up, but there'd be a for sale sign out front. Amen? Amen? Just because you make it here on Sunday morning, just because you might happen to come back on Sunday night, just because you might show up on Wednesday, amen, doesn't make you spiritual. It doesn't make you godly. It certainly doesn't save you if you're here and you're not saved. But what makes the difference is what's going on in our hearts. You know why the seed's still in the barn? Because we've confounded the planting. Amen. Now, Brother Adam, they farm over there where he's at. He was raised on a farm. And he can tell you of a certainty, if you don't take the barn and open the door and get the seed where the seed needs to be, the corn's not going to grow. Now you might open the barn and you might take the corn out and leave the soybeans sitting there. The soybean's not going to grow. Amen. You see, you can't do it part. He says, is the seed yet in the barn? But we've confounded the planting because we don't want to get involved. We want to sit back and we want to let a little bit of people, a few people here and a few people there, do some work. And this isn't to beat you down, message. It's to encourage you. To look at where we are. That's what God was telling his people. Look at where you are. He said, you know, I was really getting worried. It had been a long time since we'd seen any souls saved. Amen? And when I go a time and I don't see souls saved, I get worried about our church. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. Amen? When we go a length of time and we don't see a change in somebody's life, we don't see God save a soul, we don't see some backslidden Christian get on the altar submit themselves under the will of God and ask for forgiveness and get busy about doing something, it bothers me. And it was bothering God because things weren't getting done to lift up God and to promote the temple and to center people's hearts and minds on where they should be. You know, it's easy to get wrapped up this day. Paul told Timothy, he said, look, he said, the time's going to come when folks aren't going to endure sound doctrine. Look over 2 Timothy chapter 4. You want to follow? He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We confound the power of God. We confound the word of God. We confound the work of God because we want to be entertained and we don't want to hear what God wants us to know. Amen? We're not here to entertain you. We're here to tell you about Jesus. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to tell you how to get closer to Jesus. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to tell you how you can be blessed by Jesus. Amen? Look in verses 15 down to 18 there, what he says. He says, where are we at? And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple. Now they've done went to work. You know, Haggai done got a hold of the heart, and they done got back to work, and now they're doing something. And the Lord has reminded them. He said, remember, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days where when one came to a heap of 20 measures, and there were but 10, and when one came to the press fat to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, and there were but 20, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands. Yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. He said, consider now. Three times in the passages in chapter 1 and 2, God says, consider now. Consider that this is a new year. This is the first Sunday in the new year. Won't you consider now, from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even unto the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. From this day forward, look back. From this day forward, consider your life and what it's been. Have you experienced God's full blessing on your life? If you haven't been submitted, if you haven't been surrendered, if you haven't been committed unto Him, you are missing out on blessing. Amen. You're missing out on temporal blessings, the things of the world, you know, our homes, our cars, and the things that we just take for granted. We're missing out on blessings. I've had some old jalopies that wouldn't hardly Didn't look like they could hardly make it from here to Northeast, but the Lord had blessed them. Amen. And they kept on going. That old Lincoln. Amen. Everybody kept, when are you going to get a new car? When are you going to get that old thing? Just kept on going. The Lord blessed it. You know, the first place we took that thing when we got it was the church. You know, the first place we took our kids when we got them was the church. Amen. I thought that was important. Amen. I really feel that's important. And we miss out on the blessings of God because we really, and you say, well, I have a house, I have a nice home, I have a nice car, I'm not preaching this health and wealth and all this stuff, but it all comes with God's blessings. Amen. I'm not telling you that you're not going to have problems in the world, but I'm going to tell you you can be blessed in the midst of your problems. Amen. God said, consider this. Before you got back to work, consider this before you surrendered yourselves to get back and doing. 16 years you've been laying out. 16 years you haven't been doing what you should have done. And you went to draw out 20 measures and there was only 10 there. You went to draw out 50 vessels and there was only 20 there. You went to harvest your fruits and to harvest your grains and to harvest your flock. It was not what you anticipated that it was going to be. You know why? You was missing the blessing of the Lord. You know what you miss when you don't come to the house of God? You miss a blessing. You know what you miss when you don't surrender yourselves and work for Him and give yourself to Him wholly? You miss a blessing. Now, let me tell you something. I get wrapped up and I get busy and I get frustrated. My son-in-law, he can tell you, I get frustrated sometimes. Just ask Billy. Hey, man, I'm not always just as happy, you know, go-lucky Christian here that you see. Even Skip seems to get frustrated a time or two. Hey, man, trying to get everything worked in. You know, trying to make it all work out. I got to get this done for me, but I got to go do this for the Lord. I got this to the church. I got this to happen. And you're trying to fit it all in. It gets frustrating. Trying to fit it all in. But guess what? I'm blessed. Amen. I'm blessed. You know what I found? And we was talking about this, I forget, within the last week or so. You know what I found? What we put in our lives first. What we put on our schedule first. What we put in our jar first, amen, is what becomes most important to us, amen, and what is needful, amen. I'm not telling you, you know, getting to church isn't a hassle sometimes. It's a frustration sometimes, amen. The devil will do everything in his power to frustrate you from coming to the house of God. The devil will give you every opportunity not to come to the house of God. Oh man, you can go camping, you can go boating, you can go skiing, you can lay at home and watch movies. You're really not feeling that well. Why don't you just give up and just stay home? Why don't you know, you haven't seen so-and-so for a while. If you went and seen them today, you could just really bless their heart. Well, hallelujah. Yes, you could, but why don't you go see them after church? Amen. The devil will give you every opportunity and every excuse not to come to church, not to serve the Lord. Not, well, I don't want to get involved in all that. It's just going to take too much time. But man, we'll sign up for everything else that the world has to throw our way. Amen. I'm not going to get all involved. I'm not get all wrapped up in that. You know, how them people down there are. I bet we'll go full with the same bunch of people somewhere else. Amen. People were people. I don't care what organization or what they belong to. Amen. Dealing with people is still going to be dealing with people. And I'd rather deal with God's people than the world's people any day. Amen. We come up with all kinds of excuses and miss the blessings of God. God said, man, I know you went there. And I know you went to get 20 measures and you only got half of what you thought. That's because you're missing out on my blessings. You know what we do? We leave the seed in the barn and then we miss the blessing of the harvest. Amen? We leave the seed in the barn and we don't see any fruitfulness in our lives. We leave the seed where it was, and we just forget God in all that we do. Back in chapter number 1, he said in verse number 4, he says, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in a little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes." God said, listen, this isn't no coincidence. This has happened because you're missing my blessing and you're facing my condemnation. Amen. We confound the blessings of God. We confound what he wants to do in our life. But when we consider and we get under God sent Holy Ghost conviction. God sent the man of God to give them warning. God sent the other man of God to give them warning. God had been sending his men to give them warning all through history and all through the time that they were in captivity. And God told them, consider your ways. Consider this morning. Consider this morning what you've been missing out on. When you fail to give God everything, consider this morning what you could have had you surrendered yourself to God. Brother Joe Allen's laying down there on a bed, on his deathbed right now, and I know he's told me 50 times since he's been on hospice care and since I have been there with him, had I just let the Lord have his way in my life, I lay here today and I'm just horrified about what I've done and where I've been. And I know that had I just let the Lord have his way in my life, he could have done great things through me, not because of me, but because of who he is. But it would have took me being willing to submit myself and surrender myself unto him. Friend, let me tell you, I've been in the death room and at the deathbed of many of people that died, and I never heard one say, "I wished I'd have spent more time in the world." They said, "I wished I'd have got closer to God." Consider your ways. I've been there a million times when I've heard them say, "I wished I'd have given more time to be with my family and to worship with my family and to have my family in church." I've never heard them say, "I wished I'd have spent more time out in the world doing the things that I wanted to do in the world." I've heard them tell me, "This is no lie. These are the truths that I'm telling you." When you consider what you missed out, when you miss the Lord, you realize that you're missing everything, and this world has nothing really to offer you. He says, consider. He says, consider your ways. Consider now from this time. Man, it's the first Sunday of a new year. Won't you consider where you're at? Consider your relationship with God. Consider the things that God has in store for you and what God wants to do with you and for you and through you. Malachi says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed." God isn't just telling us to consider our finances. As some folks got the idea, "Oh, well, I'll just throw a check in the offering plate and that makes it all." He don't want it. He wants everything. He wants all of you. And He wants you to give Him His time. He wants you to give Him His offerings. He wants you to give Him His acknowledgement. And He wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing unto you. But praise God, He asked the question, is the seed yet in the barn? Amen. He can't do anything until we take action. Amen. He's not going to move until we make a decision to move. Consider your ways. Is the seed still in the barn? Do you want God's blessing on your life in 2016? Well, it's time to make a move. It's time to plant some seed and say, Lord, I've done what you said. Now, Lord, bless it. Amen. Lord, I've given you what you've demanded. Now, bless it. Lord, I've surrendered myself wholly unto you. Now, Lord, bless it. He said, there, Malachi, he said, prove me therewith. God challenges you. Amen. God challenges you to challenge Him to see if He won't be true to His word. And let me tell you something. There's not one thing that God ever promised in His word that has failed. Amen. If you'll give it all to Him. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not talking about being baptized and christened or confirmed or anything. I'm talking about if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, He says, prove me now. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you what, He'll save you. And the Bible says He saves to the uttermost. Amen. He'll save your soul. Friend, if you're here this morning and you got sin in your life and you're not living where you need to be and you're not as close to God as you should be, He says, prove me therewith. He said, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Won't you try Him out? Amen. If you're here and the Lord is calling you unto something, if He's calling you unto faithfulness, if He's calling you unto a work, He's calling you to do something. Hey man, why don't you just surrender unto Him this morning and prove Him and see what He does? He can take people that can't talk. Moses was a stutterer. Hey man, but God used him. Hey man, but God used him. We see men and women throughout the Bible that weren't anything, but God used them to do great things. He might have used them for one specific call for one specific reason. I think about Ananias when God sent him to go down and to pray with Paul. Ananias was afraid to go. Said, Lord, I've heard about this fellow. I've heard about all the havoc that he has brought in the church, how he's arresting Christians and carrying them to prison. God said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Just go. Right. Amen. Don't have to know why. Just go. And he went and God used him. Amen. To open blinded eyes. God used him in a great way. I don't know what God is dealing with you about this morning, but consider from this day forward. God said, consider from the time that you started rebuilding the temple. Consider from the time that the stone was laid. He said, it doesn't matter that the seed was still in the barn. It doesn't matter that you hadn't done what you were supposed to do. He said, just consider what you need to be doing and considering where you was and where you are now and considering what I can do. And he said in the end of verse 19, from this day will I bless you. You know what day that is? From the day that they was willing to surrender and submit themselves unto the Lord. Consider this day, Brother Jim and Sister Mary, get a song of invitation.